Praise the Lord, it's chat time.
Yes, praise the Lord, it's chat time again. And now this week, we will continue to discuss current events and scriptures.
Praise the Lord. It's time for, did you ever wonder where that phrase came from? And this week's phrase is, thief in the night. And that means that a thief doesn't generally operate in the daytime, since he could be seen. Instead, you know, a thief would commit his crime in the cover of darkness, where his identity could be concealed. It also means that Jesus will return at any moment, like a thief in the night. And this should motivate every believer to get right with God and get saved. And you can find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And that's where you can find it, in the King James Version of the Bible. So I want to talk about, different things, but I want to start off with a scripture. You know, a scripture that everybody I know quotes a lot, and that's Romans 8:28. And they say that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
8:28?
Romans 8:28.
Uh-huh, and so that must not be King James Version.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Mm-hmm. To them who are called according to God. Who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, that is the King James Version.
To them that are the called.
But I was going to just stop at to them that love God. Mm-hmm. Because that's what everybody says. Everybody stops right there. If you love the Lord, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. You know, people say that all the time, and then you never hear anybody. Rarely do you hear them say to them
that are the called.
Who are the called according to his purpose.
So, right.
And then it goes on to say in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So what I want to know is, who are the called?
The saints.
According to his purpose. Right. So it's like two questions I have. Who are the called?
According to his purpose, the saints.
And then what is God's purpose?
And the first of those was Christ, to glorify the Lord. So the Lord's mission was to lead the way for us so that we are called, because who he calls, he justifies. And so we're not living saved in vain.
All right, but doesn't he call everybody? Doesn't he? I mean, it's his desire that all men be saved.
I don't know. I think and the scripture says many are called, but few are chosen.
It's his desire to that all men be saved.
Right, but I don't know if all receive calling. I don't know if he calls all. He said many are called, and I could be misquoting, but I don't think I am, and few
are chosen. Right.
So it's his desire, but some people, like he has said, they don't have a desire to know the Lord. They not only do they not know him, the Lord said, neither do they have a desire to know him. There are some that they go through life, they don't want to hear it.
So I was thinking about to them who are the called. Mm-hmm. He calls everybody to be saved, doesn't he? He calls everybody. He puts them inside.
He gives everybody the
opportunity
to be saved.
Right.
But as far as actually calling, I don't know. But he gives you the opportunity, because somewhere in your heart, you have to make it up in your mind that you're searching for the truth. A lot of people, when they say, well, just because you don't believe in Jesus doesn't mean, are you saying if I don't believe in Jesus, then I'm not going to make it in? And what a lot of Christians don't tell them, a lot of saved people don't tell them, if you believe in the pure love, the pure spirit of love, which is God, if you believe in the pure spirit of truth, which is the Lord God, it's Jesus, then you will find yourself searching for an answer and you will be saved. But there are some people who never have that pull within them to do that.
Every human being does.
No, the Lord gives it to us, but it doesn't mean they take advantage of it. Just like the five wise and the five foolish virgins.
The reason I say that is because people do search. They search for the wrong things, but they know that there's something inside of them that they feel like drawn to something. Whether it's Allah or whether it's...
But if you're drawn to something that's
not
the Lord...
I mean, you know that you're being drawn, what I'm saying.
But they might not know in the sense that they should yield themselves unto the Lord. They might attribute it to their own greatness. Just like that man of sin. He considered himself God. He feared not man. He doesn't fear the Lord. He honors himself. He's not drawn to God. He's drawn to a greatness. But I don't believe the Lord ever called him, because it's never been in him to want to find the Lord.
Yes, I was thinking too that like when you read Psalm 55 and 16, it says, as for me, I will call upon the Lord and the Lord shall save me. So it's like it's what you do, and it's what each and everybody has the potential to call upon the Lord to be saved. But it's like the psalmist said, as for me, he made the choice. He made the choice to call upon the Lord. Even Joshua, he said, you know, he was telling the people, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me, I'm going to, in my household, I'm serving the Lord. So it's everybody has their choice. He gave everybody a choice. He gave everybody a free will to serve the Lord or you don't. He said, either you are for me or you're against me. So you all had that choice to choose what side we want to be on. Even Moses asked, who's on the Lord's side? So we just, everybody has to have that mindset to I'm going to call on the Lord.
Right. So you have that choice of what you're going to do. But what I'm saying is that the Lord instills inside each human being a desire to serve him, but people choose to do it to Buddha or whomever.
I believe he puts in everybody.
I mean, everybody has something because they look for something. They look for a higher power. They look for they look for something. They're looking for something. You're right. They don't necessarily call on Jesus.
Right.
They don't look to be saved. But inside of them, so
they have the potential. So I believe the person who's truly seeking for something, I mean, honestly seeking, whether they receive the truth or not, but at that moment that they honestly desire to seek the Lord calls them. That's what
so
I believe.
When,
but it's it, but in Matthew 22 and 22 and 14 is the one that says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." So the Lord doesn't call everybody. It appears as if when you are making,
oh,
when
you're
you are
saying that not everybody gets.
I believe the ones that are called are the ones that have fixed it in their heart to want to get to know. They might not have the wherewithal to say, "I want to know Jesus," but they might say, "I know there's something more for me. I know that." They look at the testimony of the nature that's around them, like the Lord says, it's all around you. And they recognize, Lord, there is a higher power. And they don't say, they don't attribute it to the universe as some people are doing. You know, they don't want to attribute it to God. But a person says with themselves, I know that God exists. And they have this desire. Now, some, when the Lord reveals himself, they reject him. And then some, when the Lord reveals himself, they accept him.
So,
but not everybody gets to that place where they want to know the truth. There are some people who never within themselves look around and see the glorious works of the Lord and say they want to get to know the Lord. They look around and they attribute everything except God. And if you try to tell them about the Lord, they tell you that you're foolish. They tell you that that's like old wives' tales. Those are fairy tales. That's mythology. They tell you, you know, or they get into where I hear people now talk about Christianity. They have you believe in a white man. I said, these are people who are ignorant.
Do they believe in what?
A white man, a white Christ. Mm-hmm. These are people who are ignorant. They don't know about the spiritual aspect of salvation.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
This is news to me.
That's because it's in predominantly churches of color. It comes from when the Lord said, should be no image of me. You know, coming up where they put these images of Christ and he's always European descent.
Right.
And so you have some people who rebel against that because they don't have enough sense to know that you're not worshiping a picture. You know, and as a matter of fact, they should take them all down. We're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're walking by faith.
All right. So this phrase, Romans 8:28, to them who are the called, the called.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then I suppose it could be that not everybody is called, but to them who are the called, according to his purpose.
Right.
So you can be called, but it has to be according to God's purpose.
Right, which is salvation.
So, is that the only purpose that God has?
For us to be holy. See,
according to his purpose,
which is to save us so that we might be holy, so that we can have that spiritual connection and union and have everlasting life in him.
So when you hear people repeat that phrase, that verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and they stop there, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are called by God.
Right.
Or that they called according to his purpose, or that they don't,
if they're
or
not
that they
saved.
Want salvation to be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Right. So it's like, so you know he's talking about saints because he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God before us, talking
who
about the saints, who can be against us? And he's talking about the call. He's talking about the saints. You don't have to wonder whether or not the Lord is on your side. He's called you. You are the called because you accepted. You accepted the invitation that he extended. And you not only heard it, but you received it. You, like the Lord says, hear, O Israel.
So you're saying that there are many people that are Christians, who call themselves Christians, and then they hear the calling, but they don't go that step further to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to get saved, to get...
Well, see, I don't know. When they say Christians, there comes a time, Lord says... They receive it, but they deny the power. It's like you
have that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Yes, it's like you don't want to go that one step where you completely surrender yourself to the Lord. So you go through the motions, or you get sidetracked, and you go through the formalities, and you never really get to know the Lord because that's not where your heart is. That your heart's just not there. But when the Lord's talking about the call, these are... the people who have said, who have received the Lord, not only did they hear him, they received him. So when the Lord says, hear, he's saying, you actually acknowledge me. You actually accept me. That's what he means by hear. You actually obey me.
Well, there are people that say that I accept Jesus.
Yeah, they say a lot of things. Like the Lord said, in that day, many shall say, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Lord, didn't I do this in your name? He said, they're going to say it, but... like they're doing God a favor. But what he truly requires is that the Lord requires that a person humbles themselves and receive him. That's what he requires, because he said he's not interested in the blood of bullocks and lambs. He said that's not what he's interested in. He said, but a contrite spirit, the person who comes to God with a broken heart, the person who comes before God and humbles themselves and recognize that they can't exist without the Lord, and they are willing to be connected and reborn. But there are some people, they don't admit that they're wrong. They get on their high horse and they feel like they're so much more above.
Above what?
Salvation above what the Lord is too base, too common for them.
Yeah, but a lot of people say that God is so merciful. God knows my heart. God understands me. He knows me.
Yeah.
He knows everything about me.
That's
right. You know, he just...
He does, but that the Lord knows everything about you, but salvation is a person coming to themselves and wanting to know the Lord. Of course, God knows everything about us. He knows our heart.
But that's what people say.
That should terrify a person. Said, the Lord knows my heart. And I was looking at the person and said, yeah, do you hear what you're saying? So that should make you say, oh my goodness, Lord knows my heart. He knows my most secret thoughts.
So that lets you know that whatever you say, you can't dress it up, you can't fix it up, to get around it, because you like, if you know you like a book, then he know you.
Thoughts of things that you have buried deep inside you. The Lord knows all these things. So what you do is say, Lord, you I'm naked before you, Lord. Clothe me. But he doesn't intend for you to stay naked, see? He said, clothe me with your righteousness. So when a person approaches the Lord like that, when a person actually comes to him as a child.
You don't have to say those words, clothe me in your righteousness.
No, you don't. Because you won't know to say those words. It's the spirit in which you approach the Lord. You want to get to know him. You realize that you're nothing. Within your heart, that's how your heart is receiving the Lord. You realize that you can do nothing within your heart. When I got saved, I didn't know those words, but you could feel that hopelessness without him. You could feel like you're reaching for someone to rescue you. And then the Lord comes in and he recognizes that you have completely surrendered your heart to him, and he saves you.
Well, I just wanted to straighten that out, because so many people say that verse and then they stop and don't continue with to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't understand what that meant, you know, called according to his purpose.
Right, it's to live holy.
You know, because there are a lot of people that know that they're called. They know that they're being drawn.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're being drawn to the Lord. They know that there's something, and they know that there's more to life than what they're living now.
Right.
They know that.
So they know they're being called, but then they go from the stage of being called to the stage of being the called. See, that's what the people don't realize. They go from the stage of being drawn, you know, a feeling of that pulling. They go from that stage to being pulled. They go from the stage of the Lord calling you to being the call. They have received the calling.
Yeah.
See, that's what the Lord is saying. You've received me. You accepted me. But there are a lot of people, they don't.
Yeah, it was this phrase that this former Hall of Famer football player said, when God called, I accept all the charges.
All right. I hope that cleared up some things for some people. Moving on. You know, this is not real new news, but it was on all the radio all TV stations everywhere, on the papers, where the Chief Justice in the United States, Alabama, actually, the Supreme Court determined that frozen embryos should be regarded as children, affording them equal protections under the state law. And he quoted, the Chief Justice quoted the Bible in a ruling in favor of IVF patients whose frozen embryos were destroyed in December of 2020.
Wow.
A patient removed them from a cryogenic storage unit and dropped them on the ground.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
So I guess that's how they got to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Parker wrote, "Human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. We believe that each human being, from the moment of conception, is made in the image of God, created by him to reflect his likeness. It is as if the people of Alabama took what was spoken of the prophet Jeremiah and applied it to every unborn person in the state. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." That's what it says in Jeremiah chapter
right.
1:5. But not that's New King James Version.
Oh, okay.
but it's very close.
Okay.
So even before birth, human beings bear the image of God.
Right. So this concept, when people are saying, "Well, not everybody is a Christian," I said that's true. But we base our constitution and our nation on the word of God. And you don't have to believe it, but you have to accept the fact that as long as you are in these yet to be United States, as long as you have someone who has some fear and reverence of God within them, that they're going to side on the side of the word and govern accordingly.
So this is opening up a whole new area for people who want to have a child.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't know if it's wrong to do that.
To do what? Freeze
IVF?
Your...
I don't know.
I think man has done a lot of things to bring about confusion in situations where there should be none, unless there's a health reason. You know, these people who say, "Well, I want to pursue my career, so right now I'm just going to, you know, freeze these embryos."
Well, not everybody does that. You know, they have a career in front of family.
But makes you wonder, the people who can afford this and who would do this, what is their main reason for doing that? Because it can't be cheap.
I don't think it's cheap. I know a couple who went through all this several times because they wanted children so bad, mm-hmm. you know?
But did they freeze? They froze their... See what I'm saying? The people who could afford to actually freeze the embryos, that's expensive. And it makes you wonder, what's your motivation behind it? You know, is it health reasons? But I would venture to say 9 times out of 10, it's not.
Well, I want to quickly go over this article here. It came from the Christian Post Reporter and the ChristianPost.com. And there's this Texas surgeon, General Surgeon Dr. Ethan Haim, and he was speaking at a 2024 Conservative Political Action Conference during a panel titled Genesis 1:27, which was named after the Bible verse, mm-hmm. that states God created men and women in his own image. Mm-hmm. And during the panel, this doctor surgeon discussed how he blew the whistle on a Houston-based Texas Children's Hospital where he completed his surgical residency. He said that after he exposed the hospital, federal agents showed up at his door to tell him that he was now under criminal investigation for his actions. And he, the surgeon, they asked why he decided to blow the whistle on the hospital, and he replied that he took an oath as a doctor to do no harm. And in response to a question about how trans activists argue sex change surgeries and puberty blockers on medically if they are medically necessary for people suffering from gender dysphoria, he declared, "In no way is this medicine." And what he did was likened gender affirming care to lobotomies.
Right.
And that is like right on target. That is exactly what people are doing
right.
to their children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did away with lobotomies back in the 50s or whatever.
Right.
You know, and people who are still living who have had them are suffering
yes.
in ways that they never even expected. And that's the same thing with gender-affirming...
Our children.
You're changing their gender, and you don't know what it's going to be like 50
right.
years down the road for
right.
this
you're
child.
You're mutilating their bodies, but you haven't changed their sex because it's impossible.
Anyway, that's about it for the program today.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, ain't God all right?
God
is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, what are the crown of old men? What do old men get crowned with? And the answer is children's children. And you can find that in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, and it reads, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. This week's food for thought is, a person that seeks love does what? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.